What?
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 I enhanced the detail, and
I think there's enough to enhance. Release it to my screen.
Enhance the reflection in her eye.
Welcome to Fight Club.
Welcome to Earth.
Welcome to Hogwarts.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
I didn't come here to make friends. I'm not here to make friends.
I'm not here to make friends. I'm not here to make friends.
I ain't here to make
what?
Friends.
I'm not here to make friends.
What?
Oh boy. It's a supercut of me saying, oh boy, to start this podcast, Encyclopedia Brunch. My name
is Tim. Oh, a rare live supercut. Oh, geez, I stepped on your intro. Too bad, Tim Dobbs, the host of this podcast. And who's that with you? Me, Catherine Kogert, your co-host? Hey, I missed you, buddy. How you been?
That was such an intense taking over of the show. I love it.
It's a strong arm of the show. Listen, we're back and I'm coming on strong.
It's a new age. I've been well. How are you?
Oh gosh, just great. Just great. Stepping on people's lines a lot. I've just been trying to work on my confidence and presence.
How's that going? It seems good. It seems really good.
I'm very good at it.
Yeah. Well, don't worry. I'm pretty sure the listeners could probably dig through all 264 episodes, if I'm remembering correctly, of this show and find plenty of times when we've stepped on each other's lines and make a supercut of it. That's right. Today we're talking about supercuts. Those things from like 10 years ago that were popular? No, like 5 years ago.
Okay, so I know new era, trying to be more confident, trying to be more present, trying to be a great co-host. Mm-hmm. I've made a lot of notes for this episode, right? Yeah. Like you can see here over our Skype video, full page of notes. They're all on the Supercuts haircut franchise.
Well, no, that makes a lot of sense. I understand why you'd say that because it was sort of both things that were really focused on fresh style, I think, kind of remixes. It's easy to confuse those things.
And trends.
If you don't have a lot of time, I think both of them are really good for that. Just like seeing...
Well, this should be fine. Mm-hmm. You know what? Okay, really quickly, let me just...
Okay.
All right, we're good.
Yeah.
I think I can adapt these notes to work.
Yeah, you just gotta twist and take it and turn it a couple things there.
Okay.
So I just got to say popular with the kids in the case of the Supercuts haircut franchise because they don't have the money or inclination to get a very fancy haircut. And in the case of Supercuts, because internet culture is for children. However, are Supercuts popular anymore? And also, is internet culture for children anymore?
This is a great question. Yes and no to both questions.
Okay.
I mean, first of all, Supercut never die. Supercut for life.
Sure.
Is why I got this tattoo. It was going to be for the hair cutting chain. But you know what? I can make it work for both. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah.
It's a flexible tattoo that way.
Well, I mean, franchising a Supercuts is never going to do you wrong. So you're going to want to get that tattoo as a reminder that if you're ever in a pinch and you need a little money, invest in a Supercuts franchise.
I hear they're very profitable. Yeah.
This is right. A textbook case of where we should let the listener in on something that happened before the show started recording. we were playing as we were putting together our traditional pre-show montage. We found a lot of good clips of people talking about the Supercuts haircut franchise, which sounded fun. Apparently in your case, because that's what you thought we were doing. But
I thought it was being helpful.
There was a great video that like was a guy. It was one lady talking about how much she really enjoyed helping people get haircuts, stay stylish, and then it was her brother who co-owned the franchise talking about, I never really wanted to do this, but it actually is surprisingly profitable. And so, I mean, I've looked into other things, restaurants, but...
And you know, the great thing about it is you don't have to come in that much, so...
It's a deal. Supercuts.
Boy, he seemed like a terrible business partner, and I felt bad for her.
Oh, and their family, too. It's even worse.
Oh, boy. I hope they aren't listeners. What if they were listeners? I'm sorry, family, yeah. Twins.
You just got to live your life,
you know,
and it's
they
hard.
Probably know. They probably know.
I'm sure by now they've really worked through a lot of their challenges. I hope.
I'm certain.
So Supercuts.
I mean, I guess Supercuts, here's the issue with the modern. You know what? I was going to give a history mm-hmm. of the Supercuts franchise, and then I was going to give a history of the concept of a Supercut, uh-huh. the video style.
Right.
But now, what I think I'm going to do, given your question, is give kind of a reverse history, if you think that's a good way to go. Nowadays.
Okay, so nowadays.
Yeah, I think we can all agree that supercuts are like kind of cliche and overdone. And you also see the term supercut applied to places where it should be, where it's like supercut of heartbreaking moments in rom-coms. And you're like, this is just, what is this? This is just a series of scenes.
It's a montage. That's a, I don't know. I think it might be a supercut though. What is a better word for that? Because it's about something, right? It's a cutting together of media to highlight themes. No? Mm-hmm. I mean, is that
well?
Not...
I would say that it has evolved actually over time. I think you're 100% right. There it is, a cutting together of media. The modern supercut is cutting together the same thing, like the same exact thing happening over and over and over again. Like for example, the same exact word being said, like for example, in the Buffy supercut where it's every character just saying Buffy's name and you kind of have this claustrophobic feeling that the only word that anybody says in this universe is Buffy, and it drives you a little bit insane as you're watching it. There's sort of this completionist in the original supercut. It's very completionist of like, it is every time this happens.
Yes.
I think that's the original supercut, is every single time.
Mm.
And that's impressive, especially when supercuts start out in the 90s.
The 90s,
because it's really
say.
Hard to do. Yeah.
Oh.
The first popular supercut I could find was like done on VHS, and it was the Hand in Your Gun and Badge supercut.
Oh, that sounds like a good supercut.
Right?
That's so interesting.
And that's hard to do. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. You ever do that? You ever get like two VCRs, do a little mix and match? Of course, I never copied whole movies because, you know, the FBI warning told me that that was not a thing that was legal. So I didn't. But there, you know, I definitely grew up in a home that did a lot of like recording cassettes off the radio. Trying to like record, I don't know, TGIF shows onto a VHS tape, you know, and not get the commercials, that sort of thing. A lot of crosscut, mm-hmm. a lot of remix. Big remix culture in my house.
Well, you were raised by DJs.
Yeah.
A pack of wild DJs.
Uh-huh. Yep. I was abandoned in a club somewhere.
And they found you and taught you their ways.
Yeah. We will never drop you. Not like we dropped this beat. Bah, bow, bow.
How is your so nice older brother Skrillex doing anyway? Why can't you be more like your brother?
Oh, Mr. Symmetrical Haircut here thinks he's so big. I don't know the answers. I don't know. What is Skrillex doing? I don't know. He feels of the era of the supercut, and I believe we have moved on beyond both.
True. We're done with Skrillex and we're done with completionist supercuts because it's too easy now. You can just control F, a script database, and be like, control F every time. Oh, I don't know. They say what in Lost.
Right. You could use, Frinkiac is the Simpsons. You can just literally get a screen cap or GIF with captions of anything that's
of
ever
anything?
Happened in the Simpsons.
Jesus. That's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So it's too easy now.
Yeah, you could have machines do it.
So, yeah. I mean,
they're stealing our supercut jobs.
Who is, though?
The machines.
Who is? That's the question. Oh, the machines. But also cat videos are stealing our supercuts jobs, because I think that there are still very good supercuts out there. For example, every time Denzel Washington has ever clapped, that was put together last year. It's fantastic. And I think what's really fantastic about it is it does two things that I think a modern supercut should do. First of all, it makes a critical technique of the film literature.
A critique? What do you mean? Critical technique?
Or it makes a critical it makes a critical analysis.
I see. Yes.
Like, it provides some sort of insight by putting these things back to back. You see, like, oh yeah, you're kind of using Denzel clapping in like these three ways, and these are the three reasons that Denzel claps. And it starts to feel like, next time I see Denzel clapping, I'll be like, that's a little bit manipulative, director or Denzel, whoever decided to do that.
It feels like it's probably one of his sort of go-to just acting moves, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, I'm going to look at it a different light. I will understand the literature better. And I'm using literature this time to include film and TV.
Sure.
And the second thing that it does is it tells a story. Because if you watch that supercut, and I recommend it, you'll sort of see it, like, builds. There's a score under it. And it starts out with, like, Denzel being like, all right, okay, you know, we just got to get out there, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of like psych up claps. Mm-hmm. And then he starts like getting there and he's like, all right, here we are, guys. All right. The big show's happening. We got this. And then at the end, it's him applauding.
Yeah.
And he's applauding his own claps.
It's a lot of great work.
And that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Great work at me clapping. So the modern supercut, I don't think, needs to include every instance of something, but it needs to be the exact same thing to make a comment or to shed light on something. And it needs to tell a story.
Right. It should form a narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we push our own narrative forward and take a break? And we'll be back in a moment on Encyclopedia Brunch. We're back on Encyclopedia Brunch talking about supercuts. So one thing that you said really struck me, and maybe it's just my own sort of narrow point of view at this time in my life. I'm doing a lot of sort of heavy data analysis these days. And you said that it makes a supercut, makes a critical analysis of a piece of art, or, you know, a series of pieces of art. And it also tells a story. And those are sort of the two things you're supposed to do with a good data analysis also. Like, you can look at something from a different angle that normally you wouldn't see. You know, like, oh, well, that's interesting. How many, I don't know, people are college-aged women are riding tractors or something.
It's a weird one.
You meet
what
one person like that.
What company do you work for?
Oh, Tractor Corp. We're trying to get a new demographic.
I get you. Okay.
It's not enough. The answer is not enough college-aged women riding tractors.
I bought three. Oh, I'm not a college-aged woman. Sorry.
And you're not riding them. It doesn't count if you keep them in your showroom only, Catherine.
I'm the Jay Leno of tractors. It's true.
Let the record show, Catherine is wearing all denim. I don't know. I guess I just find that striking. And I guess so I was listening to a old episode of our podcast, see our episode on the Power Glove, that Ben Tibbett wrote a great introduction for. And so we did that, what is it? It was the year 2019.
Year of our Lord, 2019.
Yeah. Robots Rule the Skies. We're getting closer and closer to those Robots Rule the Skies years. And so I think the Power Glove one was in 2015, I want to say. So this is years ago.
Okay. Yeah.
And I went on this rant in that episode where I was like, I just don't understand YouTube.
Sounds like you.
oh,
yeah.
Like, I don't get it. And what I said specifically was, I would rather watch an episode of Seinfeld than a supercut of Kramer walking in the door. And I was listening to this the other week here in 2019, in the year of our robot lords who rule the skies. 2019, I was like, I could not disagree with 2015 Tim Moore. All I want to do is watch soothing, repetitive things on YouTube these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I guess I'm finding that there's something to it, right? There's been a change in myself, and maybe it's all just like I'm only interested in metacriticism now. I'm not really sure what's going on.
I mean, there is something that we have been saying for, I think, certainly before 2015, I think we started saying this. Repetition is very soothing.
Repetition.
Repetition is very soothing.
Very soothing.
Repetition is very soothing. What? So I think that's definitely a big part, because, like, I've gone on this journey with you, my bud. Like, started out with, like, what is this? Why? What is this? Just sort of, like, kids and their phones.
Kids and their phones.
Did
exactly.
You know I was born 90. Like, it's just so there's not a lot of substance to it. What substance could there possibly be from it? And now I'm so much more fascinated by what we're saying through what we're not saying.
Right. You gotta listen to the sounds in between the points that are being made.
Speaking of,
it's the moments between the narrative.
George W. Bush supercut of every time he wasn't talking in his presidential State of the Union address.
He's a big pauser.
In between.
He did a lot of dramatic pauses.
Yeah. You know, what I really took away from that, what was really amusing about that supercut to me is he just seems like he's so confused. He's just like looking around confused a lot. Like, he doesn't really know what to say, and then people start applauding. And then he smiles a little bit, and then he goes back to looking confused. And that's kind of what the experience is like.
So, maybe I'm finding myself in a weird little pool of nostalgia, maybe just generally, lately, but certainly right now, as we talk about supercuts, which to me, like you said, the kids aren't into it anymore. And so I'm finding myself coming to an age now where there are things that I remember as an adult being like a hot new thing as an adult. And now I'm like, oh yeah, that was a while ago. And those things include George Bush being dumb. And that was like a thing that we were just like, oh, this president, and supercuts, and in a sort of meta way, all the things that I'm looking back at supercuts of, I'm like, oh yeah. I forgot that, you know, I never realized that Denzel Washington clapped so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there anything here? Is it something about an impulse to, you may remember, the rapper Open Mike Eagle. He has this great line that I really like, which is that, rap music has ruined me. I always want to loop my favorite parts. And I feel a bit like that's what a supercut is doing. It's just like, oh, let's just do the impact stuff. Like, let's just do, you're only going to see the moments, you know, and none of the buildup. And there's something about that that's connecting for me about this, like, appeal to nostalgia, or this appeal to just like, oh, yeah, let's just get lost in these sort of like little moments that I can call back over and over again.
Yeah. No, I absolutely think there's something to that. I think it's. It can be very powerful. It can also be kind of manipulative, and it can also, like, it has to be done well, you know?
Yeah. Why have we lost the supercut?
Why have we lost the supercut?
Yeah, where did it go?
I think because of market saturation and supercuts. Mm. Everybody knows what a supercut is. Like, if I say, for example, this is an old one, but Nick Cage Freaks Out.
Mm.
Like, you're like, oh, yeah, no, I don't really need to watch that because I know what that's going to be.
Right. I think.
Another thing that I do want to point out here, because I think for the sake of journalistic integrity, Tim, journalistic integrity.
Okay, you go ahead with that.
We need to be honest in that between 2015 and 2019, boy, life sure has been hard.
Yeah, that's true.
I know that I've suffered, like, my depression and anxiety have really skyrocketed between those two dates. So, I mean, I guess I think I just kind of want to consume simpler things, you know? I don't watch Game of Thrones. Here's my confession. I don't watch Game of Thrones because I don't think I can handle drama anymore. That's how bad it's gotten for me.
I do a lot of just like narrative free, like I completely know what's going to happen here. I don't even, Catherine, I don't even watch, I watch a lot of game show clips, like, you know, super cuts of when people have done very well on Family Feud, Fast Money. And if it says like someone does poorly, I'm like, I'm not watching that. Why would I watch someone not do well? I'm only going to watch the good stuff.
Well, you're a very sweet person. You're a very nice person with a very sweet soul.
I just don't need that. It's just like life's hard enough. Let's just keep it easy and doable. Okay, so
let's just keep it light, people. Let's just keep it light.
Keep it light and fun. Like a.
And you know what? If I'm watching a supercut of every single time that Bruce Willis looks confused, one, that's kind of funny, and two, like, I don't have to engage with Bruce Willis actually being confused. I don't feel the empathy of confusion. I am watching someone being confused. I am not feeling confused because Bruce Willis is confused, and I'm very invested in him because I've been watching him this whole movie.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's very meta. It's one step removed.
And it's safe.
It's safe.
Taking a step back, and now I'm safe.
Yeah. That's very troubling. I don't really feel good
troubling.
About myself, I mean, about it. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I think, yeah, you got to listen to what your body wants sometimes.
Yeah. Well, again, life has been really hard. I was thinking, you remember this Lord song? Remember Lord? As long as we're talking about stuff from a few years ago that's like not really big anymore.
Yeah.
So on her second album, she had this song called Supercut, which is, if I'm hearing the pop song correctly, it's basically just like, I'm feeling really nostalgic about when me and this other guy were together. But now that I think about it, like, all I'm really doing is playing a supercut back in my head, and it's just like the big moments, and it's like not actually what it was like being together.
Incorrect usage of supercut. She's describing a montage.
She is describing a montage. But you have to remember, Lord was like 19 when she wrote that song. And those are the people who drive our culture forward.
This is true. This is true. Not old fogies like us.
And so I was thinking about the supercut as that concept about like how it relates to your life and how it's very soothing because it's that removed. And it's also just showing you like the payoffs, right? It's all payoffs one way or another. And how that can feel very safe, but it's not what life feels like. You know, I was kind of checking in with my own body, and I was like, well, what does life actually feel like? Like, what media is life? Because it's not, you know, most, there's a supercut, which has that sort of remove, but then, like, you know, most other pop media is sort of playing out an emotion or something. It's sort of building something up. And even something that is, like, a full-blown sort of deep narrative, it's often not what my life feels like. Maybe it's some people's, but I came to the very dissatisfying conclusion that what my life mostly feels like is a cable news talk show, like about politics, where it's just sort
oh,
of like
horrible.
It's just a lot of like, something has to change. We got to have an opinion on this, but we're not really getting anywhere. And I feel like maybe we're kind of too zoomed in on some problem that seems important now, but maybe isn't. And it's important that we
awful.
keep struggling because, you know, there's a lot of TV airtime to fill.
Yeah,
this is what I'm talking about. I'm concerned.
That's concerning.
Mm.
I mean, let's just take a minute here to reinforce self-care and the importance of self-care. I think it's wonderful that you made this realization because now you've noticed it And now maybe you can kind of, that will help to manage this feeling going forward. Maybe not successfully, this is the first step.
You gotta start somewhere. You know? But then, let me ask you, what is the ideal piece of media that you would like your life to feel like?
Oh,
the feeling.
Golly.
Focus on the feeling, not the, like, you know, what actually happens.
Yeah. I think maybe one of those, like, light, fluffy, light family dramedies that have a lot of food in them. And a lot of bright colors. Do you know what I'm talking about? Julie Roberts is probably in it. But there's a lot of focus on how food brings people together, and there's a lot of food porn.
That sounds pretty good.
That's kind of what I would like my life to feel like.
Yeah.
You know, there's some drama, but it's like we all know that it's going to be okay at the end of the day because we love each other.
Right. Yeah, it's really, really light. It's like a summer replacement dramedy that's on at 9 p.m. on Wednesday, and you're like, who's watching Wednesday?
Yeah, you know, just something sweet and light.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we get ourselves something sweet and light and be back in a moment on Encyclopedia Brunch. On Encyclopedia Brunch, talking about supercuts. You ever been to
a
supercut?
Now the sexiest part of supercuts. Have I been to a supercut?
Yeah, you get your haircut at supercuts.
Yeah, definitely.
Really? But your hair's so nice. I mean, supercuts does a fine job. Don't get it wrong. But like,
I haven't been there recently.
Okay, it wasn't
when I was a little baby.
I see. So supercuts is for babies. That's the quote you have from today's show.
I feel like you've misrepresented what I've said.
It's too late. I've officially made the tagline of this podcast.
Oh, boy.
Encyclopedia Brunch, : Supercuts is for babies.
We famously have rotating taglines.
That's true. I was very proud of...
Encyclopedia Brunch, the unmarketable podcast. Not a bad tagline.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not bad. But again, it is a bad tagline. That's the problem. Anyway, you were talking about some sexy stuff.
No. Here's the sexiest part of talking about supercuts. Taxonomies. Ooh. What are the types of supercuts?
Oh, my favorite.
All right. Put some thought into this, and I'm going to argue that there are four types of supercuts. One. Supercuts relating to a specific actor and something that they do a lot.
Sure. Samuel Jackson clapping, Nick Cage freaking out.
Mm-hmm. Arnold saying, get down!
Mm-hmm.
Shia LaBeouf saying, no, in Transformers movies. Pretty good.
But
recommend to check out.
That's also a Transformers movie supercut.
Well, I mean, that brings us to the filmmaking techniques supercut, which includes one really good filmmaking technique supercut is Michael Bay spinning around characters for dramatic effect.
Mm.
Done a lot in the Transformers films and also the Bad Boys films.
That was kind of his breakout.
Yeah.
J.J. Abrams lens flare. Don't forget that.
We'll say again?
J.J. Abrams lens flare.
Oh, I bet there's a supercut for that.
Yeah, but it's hard to look at.
Or at least shaky cam.
Oh, shaky cam. That's true.
And then often these can be a little bit more thoughtful. I mean, the Michael Bay one's kind of silly, but there's a Wes Anderson showing things being centered.
Oh, yeah.
Anderson films. Or like Kubrick doing like a single point perspective where he is like a still camera shot and something is centered and moving that you're really focused on.
Hmm. I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, it's a little bit more thoughtful. It's less silly.
Hmm.
And then there's kind of the tropey ones, the ones that are highlighting a cliche, like, oh, there's no signal here on my cell phone, which is like almost all horror films. The Let's Enhance one, that's sure. Classic. And I'm Not Here to Make Friends, that's a really good
definitely
one.
Definitely a classic. Which, again, not to keep harping on how hard life is, but we were talking before the show, we were watching the We're Not Here to Make Friends supercut, and both of us had the reaction, why wouldn't you want to make some friends? That's so nice to do. Especially at your place of work, this reality show you're on. Like,
yeah,
that sounds
lovely.
It's
like a really hard place to be.
Mm-hmm. It would be so great to just have some people I could just like hang out with, you know?
Be friends.
Just be friends. Even if you want to win the thing, just like, it's good to make some friends on the, I don't get it. Why didn't you make some friends?
Well, okay. I mean, here's a perspective on it. I am open to making friends, but I'm not specifically here for the purpose of making friends.
That's true. I mean, I suppose, you know, like my same at my job, right? Like I didn't take this job because I was just like, I make a lot of good friends at this job. Like,
no, you thought I'm going to make a lot of good money at this job.
Don't give me the paycheck. I don't need it.
Pay me in friends.
Yeah. Oh, your company
two
is
weeks,
enough.
Somebody comes to your door. Hi, I'm Steve. I'm your new friend.
All right. Come on in, Steve. I'm just going to put you here in the friend bank. Going to invest you. You know what they say, make your friends make friends.
You got to spend friends to make friends.
Those are two ways of thinking about a party when you think about it. One of them is like, I'll get my friends together. They'll be friends and that'll build. The other one is just like, yeah, I'm just going to like make my friends, you know, bring a bunch of stuff to this party or whatever.
Sure.
Or just be really difficult at it because what I really want to do is get with that girl in the corner. So I'm going to like blow off my other friend. You got to spend friends to make friends.
Well, you're not here to make friends.
Yeah, I'm not here to make friends at this party.
Oh, man, a friend saved is a friend earned.
Mm-hmm.
anyway.
This feels a far field.
Well, I mean, if you save a friend's life, you've earned a friend.
That's true. A friend saved is a friend earned. You're right. I shouldn't have doubted you.
That's true.
Yeah.
All of these money phrases also apply to friendship.
neither a friend borrower or a friend lender be? Is that anything?
Yeah, that's a great. Yeah, you gotta earn your friends.
Yeah, well, the bard doesn't lie.
That's really an argument against interest.
Which I'm not sure has a friend analog. That's.
What's the phrase?
Catherine, I'm losing the thread. Maybe we can go back to the taxonomy.
Okay. The last type. of supercut is what I would like. I'd like to coin this. The pickle, in quotes, supercut, which is just the same exact word over and over and over again. Like the blah, blah, blah supercut, just a bunch of movies where they say blah, 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 blah. Ooh. Or the welcome to blank supercut. Or every time they say what in Lost, thank you. And it kind of makes this very claustrophobic feeling, like you feel really stuck in the supercut.
Yeah. Although the welcome to one, I thought sort of carried along its sort of narrative a little bit. Like, I felt
it's
very
true. It
like
did have a narrative.
There are different techniques here being used, narrative techniques and such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. So the four R to recap, there's repeating what the like an actor like highlighting a specific move or cliche that an actor does, highlighting a filmmaking technique. There was the third one you said.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the pickle one, which is repeating. What was the third one?
Cliches, highlighting a cliche.
I see, like the cell phone or the yeah.
I'm not here to make friends.
Oh yeah, I remember now.
That's how we got there.
Maybe here in these closing minutes, we can talk about one thing that occurred to me.
The twilight moments of the podcast.
As we near the winter of this podcast.
As we send it off on that boat to that Lord of the Rings elf place. Remember what it's called?
No. Elfinor.
Yeah.
That's probably what it is.
Suck it, nerds who are yelling it at their earphones right now.
Write in, don't write in. I don't know. It all seems fine. You do what you got to do.
Yeah,
it's nice to get mail. But on the other hand,
Only write in if you're here to make friends.
Yeah, exactly. Subject line, I'm here to make friends, encyclopediabrunch at gmail.com.
Exactly.
I was thinking about another internet thing that is a critique of media or cliches, and sort of went through a phase and had lots of different iterations, and then kind of isn't really a thing we do anymore. And that is, I fed this thing through a neural network, and here's what it came up with. And so that feels like it was 5 years after Supercut. Suddenly we're just feeding the Harry Potter books through a neural network and having it rewrite a chapter and seeing what it comes up with. And I knew that we were over the curve of this thing, even though I love it. I love those things. But I knew we were over the curve on them in the mainstream media when people started pretending that they had had a robot do this. And then they would just write, you know, like all kinds of crazy nonsense. And they'd be like, wait a second. The press secretary doesn't talk about spiders enough for them to say spiders this much. Like, but I think it's sort of interesting to think that I think these are both different ways of looking, doing literary critique, essentially, right? Because they make you think about, like, well, what is a thing that is said a lot? Or what is a specific way something is used? So I propose
it's only funny because it sort of sounds like, because we know what they would say.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's building off of our expectations.
I propose that the neural network analysis is the heir apparent to the supercut, and that we're in the nascent stages of some third thing that's going to come up. And that will be our new, and maybe it's just like shitty memes. I mean, I guess we've always had that, but
we're always going to have shitty memes.
It feels like the meme culture, maybe I'm just behind the curve. It feels like the meme culture is more structured than it used to be. It's like, oh, everyone's going to do the stock photo image of the guy with the girlfriend looking at the other girl, or the one with the butterfly anime thing where the guy says, is this a blank? You know these? Is this familiar?
Yeah.
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 It seems like more often there are like, here is the idea we're getting across with this meme, and I'm just going to put different text over it or whatever. Like, here are the five things you can use.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that anything?
I don't think it fills the same role in the culture.
Yeah.
Because the great thing about those is that it brings people together.
Yeah.
The guy with the butterfly. All right, so I have in the past been a big fan of I'm gonna call it a local Seattle podcast, even though they have listeners all over the country. Daily podcast called Too Beautiful to Live, right?
That's where we were inspired to do our intro montages.
They did, yeah. They're very good at what they do. But they just talk about their lives, and it's, you know what, if I told you what they talked about in a podcast, you'd be like, why would you listen to that? That's the most boring thing I've ever heard.
I have described it to people as it's the morning zoo, morning drive time radio show, if it was done by NPR people.
Yeah. Which is exactly what it is, actually.
Yeah.
There was this guy got into an argument on Twitter with this woman, who said that, like, oh, I did this joke and it's the same joke that somebody else did, but it's okay that I stole, in quotes, this person's joke because it's a meme. And he just went off on this woman, and frankly, it was none of his business, and I'm not on this guy's side at all.
You can't get too deep into the Too Beautiful to Live morass. Like, you'll just wade around in there and be like, oh, these guys don't go outside enough. I mean, they're great. I love them. But sometimes they really get hooked on some problem and they have to fill a lot of time. So.
But, you know, the fan base was not on this guy's side. Mm-hmm. We raged against our own podcast and we're like, you cannot treat other people this way. You cannot get into Twitter flame wars, Luke, with strangers. But anyway, so I made a guy and butterfly. And it was like something about the butterfly was a meme and the guy was this podcast host, and the subtitle was like, is this meme?
That's funny.
And it was right in the height of this stupid picture.
Yeah.
So it was like straight in the pocket. And it really, like, it brought people together. It really brought people together.
That's so nice.
Actually, I want to say I didn't actually make the picture. I described the picture and then somebody made it for me in the Facebook group. So it really was a community effort. Oh. So I would say that these things bring people together.
Yeah. Yeah. And now that you're talking about it, I guess it really does feel more like they're like political cartoons for the modern age because they
totally yeah. are. That's perfect. That's perfect, Tim.
Is there anything for literary critique, or are we in a lull right now where there's not going to be literary critique for a while? I don't even know what people are like. What is the literature anymore? Because for me, it's just like I'm just watching YouTube clips of people who stream video games on Twitch. So,
yeah, it's YouTuber reaction videos, reactions to YouTuber videos.
Yeah. There it is. That's the good stuff.
Man, I don't know.
It feels like the most literary critique that's in my life right now is talking to people about like the latest Avengers movie or Marvel movie, and everyone just kind of going like, "Yeah, it was good. I think it was good. I mean, it was quite an effort that they put together all those movies. It was good. I really liked it. Do you like those movies?" And I go, "Yeah. I mean, I'm not super into them, but they're fun." And they go, "Yeah, yeah. I've seen most of them. Okay, cool. This is it. This is all we do anymore."
I feel like talking about Marvel movies is the new talking about the weather. Mm. Like, it's a very safe topic. We can all agree on it.
Yeah, nobody hates those movies. I mean,
nobody hates it. Nobody's like super pet. Well, some people are super some passionate people are. About it. But, you know, Mike Trout's really passionate about the weather.
Baseball player Mike Trout. Possibly the greatest baseball player of a generation.
He's the best baseball player who's ever lived.
Yep. And he
no
just,
one knows who he is.
Didn't he say that he was sad to continue playing in Anaheim because the weather wasn't that interesting?
No, he said that he's so because he signed he had a 12 like a 7-year contract with the Angels, and then he signed another 12-year contract with them, and he's the best baseball player that's ever lived, and he's going to spend his entire career on this super mediocre team, and it's sort of a bummer. But he's like, yeah, I think the only downside is that the weather's not that interesting here. I would love to live somewhere with very interesting weather. You get to travel so much, Mike Trout.
I guess where I'm walking away from with Supercuts is kind of, I guess, kind of in a sad place about it. It feels very, I don't know. Just, it feels like nostalgia. Maybe it doesn't need to be. Help me out here. Help me. Give me some good to feel about Supercuts on our way out.
I got it for you.
All right.
Okay. So right now, I think we've experienced the fad. Like, we lived through the Supercuts fad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it came around super popular. Oh my gosh, there's a Supercut of everything. And then we're experiencing sort of the backlash to the Supercut, you know? Mm. So there's a dearth. The dearth means an absence, right? Not like a ton of.
Yeah. Very
I always
little.
Forget which one it means. Yeah.
Yeah.
It means an absence. Okay.
You did it.
There's a dearth. I'm going to pass these SATs, I swear.
Good luck getting into Dartmouth. You're going to do it.
Dartmouth.
It's not there.
But like. We're experiencing this sort of like lull in the Supercut. Mm-hmm. But I think what this does is it makes room for us to step back and think like, what do we want a Supercut from our Supercuts? What makes a good Supercut? It makes room for artists who are truly passionate about crafting good Supercuts, for critics who really want to dig into very specific parts of culture to like make every single time that Denzel's clapped his hands. I mean, that came out last year and it's great. It's so great.
So we've exchanged one of the qua words. We've exchanged quantity for quality.
Yes. Yeah. And only people who are really passionate about Supercuts are going to make it because they just don't pull in the sweet, tasty clicks like they used to.
Mm. All right. Yeah, I'm on board with that. I think we can make our literary criticism better than ever with all these new fancy tools coming online.
Mm-hmm.
Just can't wait.
So it's going to be great.
Some like binaural literary criticism beats to study to, like something like that. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm
If anybody ever makes a Supercut of some aspect of our show, I'll feel like we've really made it.
Mm. The dream. Well, I assume they'll probably make supercuts of the time the third act kind of stretched a lot longer than it had to, because we sort of meandered for a while and then kind of came back, and then it's like, and that's going to be awesome because it'll be 65 hours.
Oh, buddy, welcome back. Here's to many more.
Here's to many more. And until next week, when one of those more happens, that's Catherine Cogart over there.
Tim Dobbs right over here.
Bye.
Bye.